Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh man, what's up everybody? That was a great, I'm gonna put that before my like the song comes on, the intro song.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you sample it though, you gotta give me royalties.
I will. What's up everybody? It's Wes Hoffman with Friends once again, and I'm here with one of my best friends, Dylan Seifert. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, Wes?
Not much, man.
Honored to be back on.
Yeah.
Well, not back on. This is actually my first time on the Lifestyle Podcast.
Yeah.
A little backstory about me. If you've listened to Wes's Strange House podcast, I've been on a few of those, chirping in.
Totally.
Every time there's a dull moment, trying to get my two cents in.
What were some of the Bowling for Soup.
Bowling for Soup.
Remember that
guy?
That
was a huge one for me. What was his name? Eric, I
Eric,
think?
The bass player, yeah.
Eric was awesome. He.
They were having a good time on Warped Tour. You could definitely tell.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I remember we were sitting on the side stage in Atlanta, and I was like out of the corner of my eye watching their lead singer and a couple members of their crew hang out, and I had never seen so many beers get killed so fast.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I'd like look over. There was about one sitting there empty. I'd look back over, talk to Wes and the boys, look back over to the Bowling for Soup crew, and there's about 15 more empty ones just sitting there. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Those dudes know how to roll.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot of their songs are about, like,
oh, yeah,
drinking and partying and stuff like that.
If I had to throw in a Bowling for Soup story, they were the only band that I think I've ever actually made it a point to listen to the radio to hear when I was like seven or eight, maybe actually probably a little bit older than that, right when that album with 1985 came on it.
Yeah.
That song and their song Almost, I literally used to sit in my basement and listen to the radio until I heard it, and that's the only band I could remember doing that for, because that was before we could really get, you know, music streaming.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be on like purevolume.com looking for stuff.
Yeah, totally.
I just wanted to hear Almost by Bowling for Soup. That was my jam back in the day.
Yeah, that song especially, like, I thought it was funny because those guys too, well, that song, 1985, was super fun, but then also that other band, Fountains of Wayne's, they sing Stacy's Mom. And I remember they covered that because they're like, everybody always thinks that that's our song anyway.
Exactly. That's hilarious.
Because it's just like a pop punk song, you know?
They're one of those bands that I appreciate them simply just because of their attitude. They definitely have that. We're all friends here just trying to have fun. And there's nothing more inspiring to me because I grew up listening to bands like Blink, obviously. Their live album where they're just making fun of themselves constantly, and it's like that could almost be a comedy album to me. So that really shaped how I think about music and the way I don't take really music or anything in life too seriously. And really, no matter what, you can always kind of make a joke about it.
Yeah.
Unless it's something you probably shouldn't make a joke about it, but I usually tend to anyway. But yeah, those bands definitely gave me more of like a positive outlook on life, and you know, it just kind of shows you not everything you do in life is serious, and even when it is serious, you can find something to laugh about.
Yeah,
at least laugh at yourself in the process.
Yeah,
and that's what's most important.
No, for sure, man. I felt like that was something that, like, at the Pride Fest this last weekend that you talked about. Like, I like how you're in your band. You are. Even though you're the drummer and you're like not in the front, you're the guy who like is kind of the front man of your band, Right Quick. And I liked what you said about that.
That's my band name, by the way, Right Quick. Quick plug.
At Right Quick Official.
Edwardsville based punk rock. Gotta let your people know.
what was what drew you into punk rock? Was like just kind of the attitude or positivity, or like, what do you feel like it was? Because for me, it was like, you know, I grew up in a really small town, during a time where like punk was very non-accessible for me.
Sure.
Because people at my school said, like, didn't know about it. Because this was like before the internet became super accessible to everybody. But the first band that I heard was MXPX. Mm-hmm. And when I heard them, I was like, oh, wow, this is different. It's fast. It has an attitude to it. Mm-hmm. And I liked that it broke the rules of traditional music.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? I was like, oh my God, it's fast. This guy's voice is kind of like, he sounds kind of pissed off, like, but not in a, like, he's going to hurt me way. Some of the bands sound like that. You know what I mean?
Some of the stuff I listen to now is more toward the, this guy's probably going to hurt me, but I totally agree with that. Just everything you said about discovering punk rock, because for me, I kind of grew up in a zone where it was toward the tail end of like the early 2000s. So all the bigger punk bands, like, you know, the Green Days and the Blink-182s and the Simple Plans, they were prevalent, but they was kind of on the tail end of that. So, you know, there's a few kids around my age group. It was like, if, you know, if you had an older brother or something like that, a couple years older than you, they were probably into those bands and skateboarded and played Tony Hawk and stuff. Well, I was really young when all that stuff was going on, but my older brother, who's 3 years older than me, him and all his buddies, you know, they would come over, and one of his buddies specifically, Anthony Keenan, gonna drop his name here just because he would always come over with burnt CDs, and he'd just hand me burnt CDs, and some of those CDs I could go back today, and they had bands like, I mean, like, obviously, like, Blink and stuff, but Goldfinger was on some of them, Billy Talent, just some of these, because he had older brothers, too, so it was like his older brothers would pass it down to him, then he would come over to our house and pass it down to me, and then I would give it to my younger brother, so really, it was like, those became some of my favorite bands, and MXPX was on some of those CDs. Trying to think who else was, Senses Fail, just a lot of that early 2000s, not a little bit more specific bands than like the mainstream bands at the time. So not like your Simple Plans, but more of like the bands that you would have to look a little harder into the scene to find. And so I was really lucky to hear that at such a young age, because if I didn't, I don't think I would be, you know, as influenced and as knowledgeable and as familiar with some of these older bands that I do listen to. And it opened up a crap load of doors for me just to listen to good music. I try not to cuss. That.
No, it's okay.
I was trying not to cuss on this podcast, but you know what? You know what, Wes? Fuck it. We're going uncensored here on the Lifestyle Podcast. This is a special pay-per-view podcast.
No, uncensored. I love it.
But no, it's... So listening, growing up, and obviously Blink-182 is my favorite just because they were so funny. And as a kid, they would make me laugh with, you know, all the stupid poop jokes and everything in between in their music. And it would just make me laugh because that's how me and my friends acted growing up. And so it was just like the perfect storm of people showing me it and then also taking influence from my older brother at the time. And really, that was more a phase to them. That was just kind of what's cool, what was popular at the time was skateboarding, you know, all that counterculture stuff. And by the time that I was really grown into that, probably, you know, entering my early teens, becoming, you know, middle school and high school, I was like, the only people that I really connected to were like 3 years older than me. And I had a lot of friends who we were into the same stuff, but really it was just us that would be listening to like punk rock and skateboarding. And now it's kind of come back where you see like a younger generation of kids all wearing like Thrasher t-shirts and listening to the story so far, which is amazing. And all the new wave of punk bands is amazing. But there was like this dead space area where like if you listen to pop punk from like 2005 to like 2010, you were just kind of weird, you know?
There was not much happening during that time, I feel like. No, you know what I mean?
I think it's been a huge resurgence.
Yeah, for sure. Like... we went to that So What Fest last year, with Strange House, but like the year before that, 2016, and like a couple of years prior to that too, I felt like, there's been like a huge resurgence with the, like a lot of the new bands, like, younger bands, like people your age, Dill, you know, like the Knuckle Pucks, the State Absolutely. Champs, like all Neck Deeps, like all these bands that are like kind of up and coming again. And I think that, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's like an age thing or if like comes in waves or like, or what,
you know, but I think it has to do something with just the waves and the way things get popular and die. So like if like me, for example, you know, back in the early 2000s, that's when I got into punk rock and all that stuff. So by the time I could, you know, play music or, you know, ride a skateboard or, you know, actually do those things well, you know, I'm in my 20s now. It's already, you know, the early fad already died out and then came back. And then we're just all, and I think it's all just, you know, kids around that age group who are like, hey, this is what I grew up on. Now I'm in my mid 20s. I'm just going to make music like that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't relate to anything else besides like this specific punk rock or like emo or ska or whatever. And it's all coming back like right around this generation because, you know, there was that time where I can't remember, you know, seeing any sort of punk rock bands on TV or hearing anything about it. But it was just so darn popular in like the early 2000s, you know, with Blink,
yeah,
and Simple Plan. I think those bands really had a big impact on, you know, kids my age. And that's why we're seeing, you know, bands like Knucklepuck and all those bands getting more popular around like 2013 to, you know, now, is because everyone's just kind of at that age. We're like, yeah, we're in our mid 20s. We can start a band. And, you know, there's this absence of music that we like. So let's just fill the void with our own music. And I think that's what a lot of the punk rock now is happening. And another cool thing about punk rock is just like anyone can do it, anyone can play.
Yeah, you know, that's true, you could
and with YouTube and everything, you don't ever have to learn an instrument. You can just go on YouTube and learn it, you know. You don't have to pay for somebody to teach you.
That's so true. Yeah, I've talked to you guys about that, about how, like, you know, because I quit, I didn't play music from like 2008 to like 2016. Mm-hmm. I didn't even pick up a guitar like maybe once or twice. And, but like, that's not really playing music. You know what I mean? That's like, oh, you never really like, it's like, it's cheesy to say, but it's kind of like riding a bike. You never forget how to play, but you know, your fingers and stuff are like rusty, or like your coordination isn't always necessarily there. But like when I started playing again a couple of years ago, I realized, oh shit, like I can learn everything's on YouTube now.
Absolutely.
You can learn pretty much any song that's like fairly popular. Like there's even some like the band Strung Out, which is like a really, you know, fast technical punk band that plays like metal riffs and stuff, and some of, like, they're kind of obscure. There's still some like fanatic out there that's like, hey, I'm gonna make a video of how to play this random song off of a Strung Out album, you know what I mean? And
because he's probably just doing it because he's a big fan, but he doesn't know, you know, people like you are searching.
Oh yeah,
you know,
totally.
I really want to play this song by Strung Out, and you know, some 15-year-old kid has already uploaded a YouTube cover of him playing it 100% perfectly, and all you have to do is just go watch it.
Yeah,
and say, okay, cool, I can do this.
Because I'm not necessarily the kind of person that, like, when I was younger, you would have to play the CD and like listen to it over and over, and like have your guitar with you, like to figure out, this is how I do, you know, or you'd have to get a tab. But even a tab, like, sometimes you still need somebody to show you. I'm very visual. You need somebody to show you, like, how to do it. And you play in two bands.
Yes, sir.
And you're a big skateboarder. You have like, I think that you're one of the most interesting people because you have like a lot of hobbies. How do you, and you're the type of person also that, like, I feel like never really sits still. I always see you, like, you're doing something. You've got your turntable that you showed me, and like your skateboard, and and you work too, but like,
too much work.
What do you feel like really, you know, where does you kind of like draw a lot of your energy from to do this stuff? Do you ever feel like, you know, I guess like coming from, like, I'm an older guy, but like, you know, I feel like I have more energy now than I did when I was younger, but like, I feel like I still have a lot of energy for like somebody that, as I'm 35, you know what I mean? I don't feel like I'm 35. I have like a lot of energy and I do a lot of stuff too. But like, where do you feel like you drive your energy from? Do you ever feel, how do you keep things, you know, if you're busy with all these projects that are supposed to be for fun, how do you keep them from feeling like work?
That's a really good question. And I'll answer it, I guess, in a couple different ways, because sometimes music is one of my first loves and I'll always play it, but sometimes it can feel like work being in two bands, you know, and I don't want to disappoint anybody in either of my bands, because I play and write quick with my best friend Joel and two other of my really good friends, Mike and Matt. And, you know, those dudes have been around forever, you know, before I was in a band with my current boyfriend, Steven, and we started Earth Dad. I was just playing in that punk rock band. And so they're always be like my, you know, first first band, not my first band, but the first group of dudes that we really kind of took it seriously and made something. But sometimes it can feel like work, especially, you know, if you work full time like I do. And then on your days off, you're packing up a drum set, driving an hour and a half to play a show in front of 12 people, and then, you know, maybe get paid a couple bucks and some free beers if you're lucky, and then go home. But at the end of the day, I just kind of look at it like, I don't look at anything in terms of dollar signs. I just don't think, you know, that's why I work full time, is so I can go out and have fun with my hobbies and not sit there and have to look at music like a money-making tool. Because once somebody looks at it with just dollar signs in their eyes or with some ulterior motive, then it just becomes not fun for me. Mm-hmm. It becomes a competition, mm-hmm. you know? And there's always going to be somebody out there who's making more money than you, or, you know, so at the end of the day, it's just like when you're sitting in bed at the end of the night, like, are you stoked on what you did, or are you just like, were you just doing it for the money?
Yeah.
And I'm going to get a paycheck on Thursday no matter what. So it doesn't matter to me.
Is today payday?
Actually, tonight is payday at midnight. So
sweet.
Watch out. But yeah, I just don't like to look at anything in terms of dollar signs, especially with music, just because that's not why we do it. And I don't like to say, I played a lot of team sports growing up, and I think that's where a good bit of my energy came from, or why I have so much energy in my 20s, because it's like every day, if I wasn't skating or playing music or in drum lessons or doing marching band as a kid, I was at hockey practice, or my parents were driving me 2.5 hours to a hockey tournament. And ice hockey is one of the most physically demanding sports, and I'm super grateful for my parents for giving me the opportunity to play it. But honestly, I do all this stuff, but I don't play ice hockey anymore. And I feel lazy sometimes.
Oh, because yeah, that hockey wears you out, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was four or five times a week on the ice for 2.5 hours at a time, just pushing yourself like harder than you've ever pushed yourself. Me personally, I don't know about you, but or if you've ever played a sport like that where, you know, you just are at the wall the whole time, like you are balls to the wall the whole time. So it's kind of hard for me to just... That's why when you ever see me play music, I'm literally just a big ball of sweat, and I'm just headbanging the whole time or just going the whole time, because it's hard for me to just sit there and do something I love and not try to go balls to the wall with it.
Yeah.
Same thing with skateboarding. I have a few friends who would just show up, like we'll go out to the skate park or go to a skate spot, and they'll just, you know, they're really talented, but they just have that relaxed style, you know, and they're just going lackadaisically popping ollie, and you know, it just works out for them. I'm the exact opposite. I'm like, I'm gonna, you know, listen to hard punk rock music, and I'm gonna slam on my butt or my face 15 times, but I'm finally gonna land this trick, and it's gonna feel awesome. So I feel like I really, and not to sound like that one guy who's like, I got one speed, brother, and it's go. But, you know, just growing up with two brothers who are constantly, you know, jumping on the trampoline, doing wrestling moves, running around the house, you know, riding dirt bikes growing up. My grandfather bought me a dirt bike, so the whole time it's just been like, I'm not having fun unless I'm, like, breaking a sweat or, you know, really pushing myself to try something. Or that's why I like skateboarding and riding BMX, too, because it gives you a whole different feeling of, ooh, that made me a little scared. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
I just jumped off of that, or I'm going really fast. This is really scary. I could actually, you know, injure myself if I do this. And I kind of chase those feelings, you know, just because they do make you feel something. And it's hard to get those feelings when, you know, you're sitting behind a desk at work or something like that. And then also at the end of the day, you know, if I go out and I push myself to do something, whether it be play a show with one of my bands or go out and ride my skateboard till I land a trick, when I'm sitting at home that night after I get that trick or after I play that show, there's no better feeling than that.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I completely agree with that. And I think of that, like, with what you said about doing something that you love and like putting everything into it. You know, that's how I felt about your band played the Positive Punk show like a few months ago, and like,
great time.
You know, I that was kind of the whole thought behind that, was let's just play music that's fun and like let's have fun doing it and put on like literally put on a show
for
people. And like you know, at going to bed that night, I was like, okay, I was sometimes when I think about that show, I still am just kind of like, wow, what a, like an awesome experience. You know,
yeah, that
mean?
Was
but like,
a great show.
But it is. It's like you can go to bed feeling like, and I think about this with work too, and work's a little bit different, but like at the end of the day, did I do everything that I could possibly do to like help the people that I'm working with? And did I make a difference? I never want to feel like I'm kind of spinning my wheels like, oh, I did all this stuff, but I didn't really get anywhere, you know?
Yeah.
And I think now I always believe that even though it seems like you're not getting somewhere, you are. If you're doing, you know, like just having faith that like, okay, I can't really see the immediate result of this thing, but I know that what I did today is going to
get one
step closer.
You know, being creative, sometimes it can look like a, you know, like a tunnel where you can't see the light at the end, you know, where you're just thinking like, oh man, we've put so much work and we've put out our own album and we're constantly playing a show here, or playing a show there. We practice so much. I just don't know why, you know, like I could be sitting at home or playing Mortal Kombat or just chilling. But then it's like, if you did, you would just feel that empty space of like, man, I could be creating right now, regardless of what it is. And you said to go back to the question earlier, when you asked me about like having all these hobbies, that's why I have all those hobbies. Because when I feel because you can ask Steven, you know, sometimes we'll just sit there and we'll just bitch about music. We'll just bitch about playing in a band. Man, I don't want to play this show. This show sucks. That guy's a dick. You know, I don't want to talk to this band. I don't want to put on a fake smile and act like I'm excited to be here tonight, because I'm really not. You know, but that's why I have other hobbies, because if I get bummed out on music, I just hop on my bike, you know, listen to Turnstile and fly down the road. 30 minutes later, I circle back. I'm ready to go again.
Yeah.
Because I've cleared my mind. It's like how you do your meditation and stuff. You know, it's like you just need something. You need other outlets, because eventually if you love something so much, it's going to frustrate you to the point where you don't want to do it.
Yeah. And I've been trying to get better at that, because like, you know, even with stuff like Strange House, it you know, all the stuff that we did last year with Warped Tour, like I was doing all the behind the scenes, like setting up the interviews, getting the podcast up online, talking to the press contacts, talking to the bands, putting it on Twitter and Instagram. And it like, it becomes a lot of work, and you have to get back to, you know, if you don't have a higher purpose of I'm doing this because I want to. You know what I mean? Like, like a lot of times I'll think about that with, I mean, granted with work, it's different. I have to sometimes do things because I need to, because you do need to make money. And like, but I also feel like my work, what I do for a living, is like fulfilling. But with music, it's like, sometimes that is the purpose, is I'm doing this because I want to, and not, you know, like it's so, it could be easy to get wrapped up into, we have to get more fans and we have to get more followers on Instagram and we have to make money every single gig we do. And we have to like try to get signed and put out this EP and we have to write the best shit possible. But like when you kind of just fall back on, hey, we're just doing this because we love to do it and we'll keep doing it as long as we love to do it. And if we don't, then we won't, you know what I mean? Then it's like, it doesn't feel as much of a, like, it doesn't turn into a burden or like work as much whenever you're like, hey, I'm doing this because I want to. And there's no other, and that's how I felt about Positive Punk, was I was doing that and writing those songs because they're songs that I liked and songs that I wanted to play for people and a show that I wanted to do, you know?
And it absolutely showed at the, if anybody was at that Positive Punk show, they definitely noticed, you know, when Wes got up there and ripped. You know, I was looking at Mike Herrera just jumping around. No, but
that
music, like, comes from you. You know, you could tell that in the purest sense is what you have in your mind, and that's what you love. You know, and that's basically what I try to do with my music. I don't write for really either bands. I help arrange music. You know, I kind of help get everyone a sense of structure in the song. But when it comes to actually writing the song and, you know, the melodies, I like to write on my own. But, you know, I got one both of my bands have kind of the same dynamic where it's a guitar player, singer, songwriter, frontman kind of deal, and they're extremely creative, and I can really only get into that creative process so much before I kind of stifle it for, you know, Joel or Steven and either of the bands. So I always have a helping hand to lend, but, you know, sometimes you just gotta, you know, if it's, it might not be something I necessarily agree with, but I know, hey, this person wouldn't have wrote this if they didn't think like, this is what's in my heart. This is what's in my head, you know? So even if it's a song that I'm like, I'm kind of meh on this song, but you know, I know my front man or, you know, my band member really feels strongly about it, and we're just going to go with it because I respect that, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's why I do so many extra things too, is like I ride on the side, and you just got to have an outlet for all that stuff. And with the Positive Punk Show, it was such a cool and positive outlet and like a positive message to go along with a style of music that normally can sound aggressive. It was just such a cool message, and I feel like it really kind of opened a lot of people up to, you know, hey, punk rock is just in a type of music that everybody can join.
Yeah Well, and that's one thing that, like, going to your shows, like both Earth Dad and Right Quick, a lot of the shows that you guys do, maybe not a lot, but like they're at VFW halls and basements and stuff like that, and I like recreating that. That's one of the reasons, I mean, I go because I want to support you guys, but like I also just love that atmosphere of like, hey, we're just setting up a PA and playing wherever we can, and just everybody shows up.
And a lot of the times those gigs end up being, you know, the most fun, because, I mean, we've played, Right Quick has played, you know, we've played a lot of gigs. Like, we played Del Mar Hall. We've played a lot of venues in St. Louis. We've played, you know, bigger stages, you know, where it's a more of your classical bandstand, and then, you know, fans watching or friends from lower areas. And then we've also played shows where, like you said, in a VFW hall in the corner, you know, but those are always the shows where all your friends show up, and you're all sitting there, you know, drinking some whiskey or something, and everyone gets a little, everyone has a little bit too much fun, you know, and everyone stays a little bit too late, and it just ends up being some of the greatest times, because you can get those people involved in the show, you know. You could just step away from the microphone and be like, I'm not going to sing this until someone comes up here and helps me. Or what I like to do, since I see a lot of the same of my same friends at the same shows, is, you know, I'll call them out over the microphone. I don't even care, because, you know, it'll be 10 or 15 of our friends, and then, you know, whoever the other bands and whoever the other people are there at the show. But really, I'm there to, you know, have fun with my friends.
Yeah.
You know? And if people want to come along for the ride and hang out and, you know, check us out, that's totally cool too. But I'm there to just hang out with my friends and get down and play my music.
When I walked up to Pride Fest last weekend, and you on the mic, you're like, what's up, Wes?
Yeah, in the middle of the song. I love doing that, because awesome. It kind of makes people... I feel like a lot of bands, they say, oh, we're so thankful for our fans, or, you know, we're so thankful for people who support us. It's like, dude, that's your best friend, Jeff. You know, he's not your fan.
Yeah.
He's doing it because it's your best friend. You know, he's just, so, you know, treat it like that. Make sure they're having a fun time. Make sure they have a reason to come out. And that's why we're not one of those bands, you know, that just goes out and plays and St. Louis every single weekend, because I think about people like you, for example, who come to almost all of my shows, which I appreciate the hell out of. But it's like, at the same time, it's like, I'm not going to have all my friends drive an hour out of their town into another town, pay $15 to watch us play for 30 minutes at midnight, and then have to drive home, you know, at 1:30 in the morning. You know, it just doesn't make sense for me. If it was, you know, a cool band that we get to play with or something like that, then maybe, or a cool venue. Like that time we played Del Mar Hall, that was awesome.
Oh, yeah,
for the most part, it's like, that's why I love doing local shows. It's easy for everybody, you know. I know who's going to show up. I know it's a guaranteed, you know, fun time. So I'm not really too concerned if we need to branch out or travel around. Like, that day will come for us, but we're not. At the end of the day, it's like, what's the point of being the most popular band in a single town.
Yeah.
You know, you're all local bands at the end of the day, so just have fun with it.
You guys have still played some pretty, I mean, you like Right Click played the Delmar Hall show, and then like Earth Dad, you guys played that show with one of the guys from the Zero Boys or something like that.
Yeah, we played with them. They're his new band Ask at Foo Bar. I played both sides of the Foo Bar. The coolest feeling though is when we finally got to play on the big side of Foo Bar with Right Click, and all I could think about was how I just saw Turnstile play on that stage the year before. Yeah. And they're a huge, huge influence on me. They're the band that first kind of got me into more hardcore stuff around like 2013, 2014. And a cool thing about them is their drummer, their singer is a drummer of another band called Trapped Under Ice. So he's kind of got that drummer turned frontman vibe, and I just respect the hell out of that.
Are they broken up now or
no, they're still going strong. That whole kind of group is like a collective.
Yeah, they played Trapped Under Ice played at what was the name? Wrecking Ball Fest. When Corey and I went in 2016, and I think we saw literally like one song or something, dude, because it's hot in Atlanta, and like there were a lot of people and it was hot, and I wear jeans most of the time and I was sweating my ass off.
And that music is, you know, those shows, they're not for everybody, but for people like me, like I was saying earlier, where I like to chase those adrenaline feelings feelings of being scared. There's nothing that's going to make you more scared than a, you know, 6'4" sweaty shirtless dude in dad shorts running at you with his fists flailing, listening to Trapped Under Ice, you know.
Well,
you're going to get the hell out of the way, and that's scary.
I love, one thing that I love about punk rock, and I think this is too like a good testament to how we became friends, is that like everybody usually at a show, even if it's like you know, heavier music, there's like, not every single show, but like people look out for each other. I mean? It's always a positive, like when you're at a show or a festival, you always feel like I can talk to anybody here. That way anyway. And like, you know, I mean, that's in a way, that's how, you know, when I met you at the movie theater, I kind of knew, like, you know, you've got the piercing and like you had like a pink streak in your hair. I was like, oh, this
is blonde.
This
streak.
Dude's like probably in punk rock. You know what I mean? And, it's a common bond, like away. You know what I mean? Everybody at this show is into the same thing. We're here for the same reason, because we love this music. And because of that, you can, you know, you immediately have a common bond with people. And it's like, I've made really good friends. I mean, yourself included, but other people that I've met just from going to shows. And if you see them at shows, you know, too much, eventually I'm the type of person I am, I'm going to be like, hey man, I see you all the time. Like I should at least introduce myself. Yeah. You know,
or
what
like,
I mean?
Let's
and
hang
like,
out or
tell
something.
You who I am. Like,
yeah. Cause at some point it eventually becomes awkward. Cause you like have seen that person 15 times and have only said like 3 words to them or something. But I totally agree with that. And you know, those small kind of subcultures is like what I grew up on with like skateboarding and BMX and stuff. It's really kind of the same thing. You know, if I see somebody walking down the street and they have, you know, a ripped up mark on the toe of their shoe, I'm going to know, okay, if that's a Vans shoe or if that's a DC shoe or something like that, I'm going to know that person skates, you know, and I can walk up to them and be like, hey, you know, where's the good spots around here or something like that. And eventually we'll have a conversation about skateboarding. Now it gets a little difficult with skating because the amount of people who are wearing Thrasher and the popularity of it, you know, how mainstream it is. It's kind of not a lot of people are more into the culture than they are the actual aspect of doing the activity, you know. And that's another thing, too, that I always, you know, kind of look at as like the bar, I guess, would be like, okay, who's out there just doing it and who's out there talking about it or wearing it or, you know, or posting about it on social media? Because it's like, especially with this day and age, it's like, and a lot of people my age, it's like, okay, well, did you post about it on social media? Because if you didn't, probably didn't happen or probably wasn't cool, you know?
Yeah.
But like skateboarding and punk rock, it's a very good way to meet people, but at the same time, it's a very inner battle. Especially with skating, in my personal experience, And I know I've been talking about skateboarding a lot, but it's just so similar to music in my life that it's just two very similar things. But nothing has taught me self-reliance and like goal setting more than skateboarding and learning music. And I played team sports for since I was like 4 or 5 till the time I was like 18, 19. So, I mean, I knew how about hard work and teamwork, but nothing is going to teach you more self-reliance and how to reach your goals than, you know, practicing kickflips for a year straight in your garage. Because when you land the kickflip, you are going to freak out and it's going to be amazing. And then you're going to realize, oh yeah, no one cares. I just did a kickflip in my garage and I'm the only one who cares. It took me 2 months, 3 months. I was about, I think, 10 at the first time I landed a kickflip, and I started skating when I was like 7. So literally 3 years, and I tried it like ever since I started. And when I finally got that, I remember just running in the house and like yelling at my parents, like, I did it. Come outside and watch. And they come outside, can't land another one. You know, that's just how skateboarding goes. But things like that, and like with punk rock, like no one's going to sit there and coach you and tell you to be better or say that wasn't good enough, try it again. Like in team sports, it's so, you have to be reliant on yourself. And that's why I think it's important, you know, because you can go out and post about it and say, oh, our band is doing this, or, you know, look at us, look at this awesome picture, look how many fans we have, or look at our social media outreach. And, but at the end of the day, it's like, well, are you out there doing it? Are you at home putting in time? You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes in behind the scenes. And I feel like it's really easy to go on social media and make yourself out to be like this person. Cause I do that sometimes myself too. You know, it's like I'll post a skateboarding picture one day and then post a drumming picture the other day. And like, if you didn't know me, you would think I was just out there every day doing something cool. But people like, you know, that was probably maybe taken a week ago, or like, you know, I do work a lot, so I have to fit it in where I can fit it in. So I'm always kind of constantly going until the point where I'm just exhausted.
Well, I you bring up a good point about social media too, is like we've created this idea where, like, you know, if I post a picture of me speaking or a picture of me on Warped Tour or you know, at a show with like a friend from in a band, or even just hanging out with you, you know, or something like that. Or if I post like stuff about my podcast, like those are really just like that. It's a static picture, and that's one moment out of thousands of moments, like millions of moments that I've had throughout the day. I don't take pictures of me all the times that I'm driving in my car.
Yeah, or like when you get a flat tire or something.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Or the times that I'm just like sitting in my office like doing emails or like uploading, like doing really boring stuff like uploading podcasts or like playing Mega Man 2. You know, even with skateboarding and music, you're playing the one, you know, if I post a guitar video, I may have tried to post, even when I just send one to like my friends, if I send I send riffs to Jacob all the time, even if I just send him a riff, I may have tried to get that video and get that take right 7 different times. You know what I'm saying? But like, he's getting the one he's getting the one, okay, I'm saying, oh, that one's good enough, I'll send it to him and I'll delete all these others. People don't see that, like, oh, well, you, and then that's not even to say the amount of times that I practiced that riff and had to come up with it. So I think that, like, in a way, social media has, like, you know, it creates that kind of false sense of, like, it's just
unrealistic expectations.
Yeah, and it's just important when you're looking at other people's feeds to realize, like, this is just one moment. This is, you know, you're not posting a picture of you arguing with your significant other. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And I totally agree with that too. And it kind of gives gives you this feeling sometimes, you know, if you're always looking at Instagram or always, you know, because you can follow your idols, you know, and you can see what they're doing on a day-to-day basis.
Sure.
And one negative thing about that is, you know, when you do put your phone down, you're back in your own life. You know, you're not living in the fantasy land of, like, watching people, you know, in watching beautiful people on the beach, you know, wearing clothes that are more expensive than my car. You know, it's just you're back into your own life. And it kind of gives you that feeling of like, man, I wish you need to be more grateful for your own life and not sit there and wish, oh, I wish I could be like this dude on Instagram, or because that dude has his own troubles, you know, and like,
oh,
you have no,
yeah.
And like what you had said earlier with like the guitar riff, like if you post a riff on Instagram, people don't know how many times that took. Like same thing with like skateboarding. And I have done that too with drums, but like if I'm just trying to do like a kickflip over something, people just see like the cool video of me doing a kickflip and they're like, wow, that's pretty neat, like, but what they don't realize, I was that weird sweaty shirtless guy in a parking lot behind a Walmart filming myself falling for like 45 minutes and cussing and getting mad at my own self, and people are, if they saw that, you know, they'd be, you know, they would be giving me the same looks as the people who were actually watching me do it in real life. They'd be like, what the hell is this kid doing? You know? But like you said, it's you, we only post the stuff that people want to see. So it's, I try to be, that's why I have a couple social medias. Like the Twitter is a little bit more honest to my real life and my thoughts. Cause sometimes I'll, you know, get angry about something and get on Twitter and just release it, you know, or something. Cause it's not like, I don't have people I grew up with like I do on Facebook.
Yeah. Know? Well, and Twitter is also one of those things that I feel like, it's so like easy for tweets to just get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
Like
for sure.
It, you know, you have a tweet up and like, it might not, like after a certain amount of times, like if it doesn't catch on and people aren't retweeting it, it's just like, they're not going to see it. You know what I mean? Like, and so it's like, I kind of am almost, when I post stuff on Twitter, I'm just kind of like, oh, well, this might catch on, this might not, you know what I mean? Like it, and, but I don't know. It's, I feel like social media in a way, like, you know, I believe like everything's connected and like in life in general, and like the internet is the one, is one of the inventions that has and like now smartphones and computers and stuff have connect, like brought that connectivity, like made it real. Cause like I can text you any time of the day. I can text your phone, you know what I mean? But like, I think at the same time, it's almost moved so fast, like, and being old enough to have seen the transition from like before the internet to after, and like now how we're living is, it also creates like a lot of anxiety and comparison. People compare, people compare themselves to each other all the time. Like, oh, well, look at what they're doing. They live such a cool life. And it's like, no, everybody's, you know, we're starting to see that now with like celebrities that, we think are living these awesome lives that, you know, people are depressed and people are sad, and
or it might turn like, out that person is, you know, a total scumbag.
Know, oh, totally.
Like
yeah.
Some will come out and everyone's like, oh, well now we need to hate this person.
They're dealing with the same problems that that everybody does, you know? And I think in a weird way, it's like, it's very convenient, but it's also like causing a lot of like stress.
And I think one thing that I've noticed too, and I don't know if it's just because of the way I'm wired or what, but just almost this like obsessive compulsive reaction. Like, no, just my bot. I do have that, you know, I should probably post on the band Facebook today. I haven't.
You get a little bit of
you get that feeling of like, everyone's going to forget about me. Everyone's going to forget I'm in a band. You know, no one's going to come to our next show when I finally do post. So I need to keep everyone engaged. That's one thing, but I get, and you know, me and Steven will be sitting on the couch watching a movie and, you know, I put my phone down because I just spent 15 minutes on Instagram and I'm watching 5 minutes of the movie. Next thing I know, my phone's back in my hand and I'm looking at it. It's like this weird obsessive compulsive. Yeah. And now every time that happens, what I've started to do, since we have such a humongous couch at our house, if I pick up my phone and I don't make the conscious decision of like, oh, I need to text this person or I need to look at this. If I'm just, you know, picking it up just to pick it up, I'll take it and just throw it to the other side of the couch.
That's smart.
Yeah. I've been starting to try that. There was this app that I was going to download, but Steven wouldn't do it with me because it was like $3. But it was basically you pull up the app on your phone and you hit start and a little seed starts to sprout into a tree. And then anytime you close out of the app, it kills the tree. So it's basically like teaches you like, hey, you don't want to kill the tree. You know, it kind of reminds you because You can set your phone down 5 seconds later, look at your phone and be like, oh, there's something new on there. I know there is. I need to look. Someone sent me a like. Someone sent me a message. Yeah. You know?
I find that a lot. I completely agree with you, man. Like, I find that a lot. And I'm trying to be much better at when I work, when I'm in my office, I will put my phone over on my desk and then I'll sit across the room. Even though I have my computer and my computer has messages on it, like, I just, you know, I won't always check my messages right away, but like, I'll find when I'm driving, I'll be like, oh, like it'll literally have been 10 minutes and I'll be like, I wonder if I got a new email. Like I'm waiting to hear back on whether or not this deal closed, you know, or like, and I'm trying to be better about when I'm at home, especially like just taking a break. Somebody on the, I think it was Zach Sullentrup, and I don't know if he said this on the podcast or not. But he said like, it's probably not healthy that the last thing that we look at before we go to bed is a screen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, totally. And I'm trying to be better about that when I, watch TV even or movie. It's like trying to give it, we watched Coco the other night. Jenny
such
and I
an
did.
Amazing movie.
And I was like, well, you know, I want to give this my attention. I don't want to, you know, even though it's a different screen, it's like, I want to experience this movie. I don't want to like be watching it with my phone in my hand, because then you miss stuff and then, you know, you have to rewind it. You're like, wait a second. Mm-hmm. Like, he's in the afterlife now. What the hell happened? How did
and the
this
best
get
part
here?
Of that movie, you know? Is how colorful it is.
Oh, I love. Yeah.
I mean, the story is amazing and the message is beautiful, but the animation team on that one was just knocked it right out of the park with the colors. And
totally.
They really kind of captured that Mexican Day of the Dead feel with just all the colors and the festivities.
Yeah.
And you just felt like, oh crap, I feel like I'm there. You know,
yeah.
I feel like I'm watching, especially when you're watching like a big screen TV. Pixar.
Yes.
You guys kill it.
I love all of the Disney Pixar movies, and I really like the DreamWorks. Not all of the DreamWorks movies are home runs.
Yeah.
But like
they do get some good ones in here and there.
I really liked what you said about the colorfulness. Trolls was also really colorful. I don't know if you watched it, but like it's literally like just watching your screen on tie dye. Like the whole
time, that stuff.
It's there's all kinds of songs and stuff. So smoke a little bit, watch it. It's like it's like, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah, I definitely love all sorts of movies, but definitely ones that focus heavily on like the cinematography and like the art.
Yeah.
Side of film more than like the storytelling.
Sure.
Just because like movies like Into the Void and I can't think of any other ones off the top of my head right now, but movies like that where you can just kind of sit back and just, it's a spectacle to watch.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like there's a difference between a movie like Avengers, you know, like Avengers is, it's a movie, it's a fun ride. And then there's like, And it's artistic and creative in its own way, but like there's that, and then there's like film. You know what I mean? There's like, oh well, this is, you know, and I feel like sometimes people, you know, there's no right or wrong way to look at it, but like sometimes there's this, oh, I don't like that movie, you know, like that's not what I was expecting, and you know, sometimes there's a difference between like wanting to be entertained and watching a movie and like watching something that like, oh, this is like a work of art. Somebody is putting this out to make me think. And this
Absolutely.
Is like their perspective. Like, have you heard of that movie Annihilation?
I've heard
like,
of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's a lot of like, you know, stuff like that, or like, you know, a lot of the stuff that gets nominated for Oscars, like, that movie Moonlight that came out, and like all these other, like, I'm trying to think of like Three Billboards.
That was,
you know,
a really
I didn't
good
get
movie.
To watch that one yet, but like all of those movies that kind of The Shape of Water is another one. I feel like that was like sometimes people, I know some people didn't like that for different reasons.
Them Fish Boys.
But I was like, come on, you know, it's there's a deeper meaning to it, that like there's this woman who feels like nobody understands her and she can't talk and she can't hear, you know, but like there's this fish boy that comes, this like fish god basically, that like he understood, you know what I mean? There's like a deeper meaning behind it, and it's not necessarily there to be like just a fun loving this is a fun loving heartwarming story.
Yeah.
It's like it's there's something deeper to it,
and
you know?
That, and on the flip side of that too, like there's nothing wrong with watching stuff just because it makes you happy to
totally
watch it,
totally
know?
No, dude, I do the same thing.
One of those guilty pleasure moments, and I don't want to admit it on a podcast, but I'm going to, you know, when someone asks you about like one of your guilty pleasure shows, like, yeah, I grew up watching WWE and wrestling and all that stupid, silly stuff, but it's so entertaining. And those guys are such high caliber athletes that, and me being an athlete myself and living an active lifestyle, I could never do that, you know? And people say, oh, it's fake, it's fake. It's like, did that guy not just fall off a ladder? He might have landed on 2 inches of padding, but he still did a front flip off of a ladder onto another guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's just entertainment. And there's no different between that and watching either like a band play or watching somebody do tricks on a bike or going to the circus. You know, it's all a craft. And you got to respect those performers. Mm-hmm. And especially watching, you know, like wrestling, because those dudes, all they have is their own selves. They have to go out and sell their selves based on charisma and character,
their persona,
and their persona. So even watching that, it kind of helps me in my other walks of life, like on music. I'm not afraid to get on there and say something silly on the mic, because you know it's not like going out there in a speedo trying to body slam someone, you know?
Well, I agree. I think that like sometimes it's good to just watch stuff that makes you happy, and I have like I grew up watching Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
And like, I have some old, I'm totally cool with the new Ninja Turtle movies too. I mean, even though they look completely different than they did, you know, 20 years ago or whatever. But I'll turn that stuff on. I have like old DVDs from the 80s and I'll be like, you know what? I'm going to turn this on because it makes me feel good.
Yeah.
It makes me happy to see like Michelangelo skateboarding and eating pizza.
Absolutely.
Like, you know what I mean? Like why? And for a long time, I felt like that I shouldn't do that, though. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what an adult should do. And I'm like, well, but shit, man.
I need to watch an art film.
Right. I mean, I should be watching, like, people watch stuff. People do the same thing. It's just geared more. They watch, like, things that make them happy, like The Office or Parks and Rec or The Voice.
Matt,
or
the guitar player
American
for
Idol.
Quick.
You know, like, they watch stuff like that because that makes them happy. It's just a different, what makes me happy is something different.
Absolutely. I think our guitar players watch The Office all the way through around 6 or 7 times.
Oh my God.
All 8 seasons.
I've watched, Jenny and I watch Friends a lot because that was like popular when we were growing up. And then we watched The Office and Parks and Rec and I'm trying to think of what else we've... But that's stuff that we just turn on where we're like eating dinner and don't really like, we just kind of want
to sit
on the background.
There and like scroll through 500. That's another thing with the internet, makes it so hard. It's like it used to just be like, what's on TV?
What's on channel 11?
You know, what's at Blockbuster? What's, you know, what's in the Netflix
now
mail
you can watch
catalog?
Anything.
Now it's like, I will sit there for 20. By the time I pick something to eat, I'm halfway done with dinner or whatever,
crazy?
Or something to watch. Yeah. It's just,
that's why you almost just have to be like, Office, boom, just turning it on. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah, me and Steven used to be so picky about what we watched. And like anything I'd pick, he'd be like, yeah, I like it, but let's keep looking. Anything he'd pick, I'd be like, yeah, I like it, but let's keep looking. And eventually we would just never watch anything. So then we see something. If we don't immediately both hate it, we just throw it on.
Yeah, I think
because
that's
we have something to bitch about for everything.
Yeah, you can always be too picky, and yeah, like that's Jenny and I run into that sometimes too, where I'll be like, oh well, you know, I
don't. So you don't want to commit like an hour and a half to something that you're just gonna be like meh about,
but at
the same time, it's like, well, what am I gonna do? Sit here and look at the wall? Like
totally.
Sometimes you just have to, you know, watch something and. Sometimes it can end up being really cool, like some of the lower budget movies on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you just stumble across a really good one and you're like, I'll just throw this on and it totally just sucks you in.
You can always watch Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah, or Yu-Gi-Oh! Yu-Gi-Boy!
All right, dude. Thank you so much
Absolutely,
for hanging out
Wes.
With me and talking on this podcast.
Absolutely.
You need to come back and Steven, anytime. You should be a guest sometime too. Yeah. That would be awesome. So,
dude, I would love to come out and do some more podcasts.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've, you know, done one.
I know.
And I feel like this year we've both been so busy, you know, me and Steven getting a new place. I know we've talked about a lot of personal stuff that I'm not sure everybody's going to be able to relate to, but it's just totally awesome to be, you know, record a conversation.
Totally.
Just hopefully someone out there can listen to it and either relate or want to, you know, do some of the stuff that we talked about, whether it be skating, biking, riding, playing punk rock music, getting together, playing a DIY show. It's just like, if there's one thing that anybody can take away from either of my bands, Right Quick, Earth Dad, look them up, it would be just to, you know, go out and have fun and don't focus on what you're going to get from it, but just focus on doing it.
Because
focus on being present and, you know, making yourself sweat and, you know, go out and break a sweat, you know, and you'll feel a lot better about yourself rather than getting 100 likes on an Instagram post. You know, if you go out and you just go push yourself, whether it be in the gym, you know, pen to paper, playing music, riding skateboard, whatever it is, just go push yourself, you know.
Yeah, that's one thing that I've always loved about you, is like, you're very good about like being present and in the moment and like appreciating everything and like,
thank you,
the different things that we've always done like together, like because we've been some places.
Oh,
like
for sure. Kansas City. I gotta throw out an obligatory thank you to Wes and Corey and Dory, because last year those dudes took me around everywhere.
Yeah.
I met Wes at my movie theater job. I'm not there anymore, but he was wearing a Story So Far t-shirt, and I said, hey, man, that's a sick band. Did you see their show? And then ever since then, we've been really good friends. And
yeah.
They took me up to Kansas City. We went on Warp Tour for Nashville,
Dallas.
We went to Dallas.
Yeah.
They took me on my first plane ride.
Yeah, hell yeah, man.
Corey and Wes did, so well, I'm forever grateful for those dudes.
And that's what's cool, you know, is like I feel like everything that we've done together, you've always been like, yeah, man, I appreciate it. Like, I'm thankful, and like it's you know, and we, I don't know, it's
absolutely
just
good. And it's not just a good vibe. It's not like, you know, oh, dude, thank you for taking me to this new place. It's like, dude, thanks for, you know, just like following up and being my friend and asking me how I'm doing this week, you know. And like, I don't get to see Corey and Dory as much, but when I do talk to them, you know, they always have a minute, you know, to talk to me.
Oh, sure.
You know, you guys are just like the most generous dudes I know.
And oh, thank you, dude.
Just to, you know, because a lot of adults, you know, or even people who are just a couple years older than other people, it's like you kind of look at them and you're at some place in your life, and maybe if someone else isn't at that place, you kind of avoid them, and you're like, you know what, I don't want to feel like I'm going backwards by hanging out with this person, or, you know, maybe we're just in two different spots. But you and Corey and Dory have never been like that, and have always helped me feel included, even when I was like, hey, man, this is super new for me. I don't think I can go talk to Colin from Circa Survive. Oh. You know, I think that'll be scary. That. And you'd be like, nah, buddy, you got it, bro. And it, you know, like, and just your guys' positivity, you know, I think about Wes and I think about what you guys always have to say when I'm waking up at 8 a.m. to go fix cell phones, you know, like it keeps me going, you know, with the experience that I've had. And even when shit gets more of like turns into a grind, when I can't touch my board or I don't get a practice in with my band, you know, for a couple weeks, I still have like those memories of like, oh yeah, you know, I can always go back to that. You know, the times I've had with you guys and just playing in bands and stuff, like that'll bring me happiness pretty much forever, you know.
Well, and there's I appreciate that, man. Like that means a lot. And I you know, there'll be more. Not everything that you do is like you know, in life is like Warp Tour and these, exactly, you know, these big extravagant things. Like, life's up and down, but I think there's gonna be more cool times like that ahead. And
oh, for sure, you know, and I think this year has definitely been it's been a slower year for the kind of traveling and, you know, creating, but at the same time in my life, it's been a very steady year for me, and that's kind of what I needed after the all the craziness we did last year.
Yeah, I remember you saying that at one point. You're like, yeah, I've just been gone a lot. I haven't like picked up a lot of shifts or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
no, I was always broke. When we went to Dallas, I had like $150 in my bank account total. When we went on Warped Tour, I had maybe $200, you know. And you guys were nice as hell and would pay for my food. And like, that would save my life, because, you know, my dumb ass would go out and blow it all on band merch.
Well, and that's just how like money is sometimes, though, you know. It's like,
you gotta sacrifice.
Sometimes you got bills and you know, if your money's like, oh shit, I only have like $300 right now, well, but all my bills are paid, and like, you know,
yeah, I got peace of mind.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, you know, I don't know. I could get on, I could go off on money and like how people view money for like a long time.
Yeah, we got to wrap this thing up, brother.
But thanks, brother. Again. It's Dillboy Q on Instagram.
Dillboy
right?
Q on Instagram. Dylan Seifert, if you want to add me up on Facebook. Both of my bands are on Facebook, Instagram, SoundCloud. Right quick, if you like punk rock, if you like to sit back and listen to some funky riffs, you should check out Earth Dad. Both, like I said, both bands have music out right now. We're always playing around either St. Louis or, you know, the Metro East. So,
hell yeah.
If you know Wes, talk to him about it. He will point you in the right direction. And it's a huge honor to be on this podcast. Hope everyone has a good day.
Peace.
Later.